Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 25th of May. Joining us this morning is the PIO.
Yes.
Of the California Highway Patrol.
I am A-OK.
There's got to be some. How do you pronounce PIO? PIO?
PIO.
PIO? PIO. Oh, that sounds like Dayo. That's almost like a Jamaican song now, huh?
PIO.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not gonna,
that's better than cake.
You don't want to hear me sing. I've bragged about karaoke a couple of times, but you really don't want to hear me sing.
Well, there's no alcohol involved this morning.
Yeah.
So we'll go. We'll just kind of slide on by.
My key is off.
Your key is broken.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate.
The lock is jammed. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Are you ready for Why Do We Say It?
Yes.
Why do we say baby?
Baby. Yeah. I could make up something that tried to sound smart.
You haven't attempted that in the past.
Yeah, no, right?
I notice Larry isn't showing up, so I figure you must be saying something really frightening in the office before you leave.
Oh, no. He just likes to hear my voice on the radio.
Oh, not that he's an important guy.
But, baby, let me tell you something. I don't know the answer to that one.
Not a surprise. All right.
We're already derailed.
Most people like an occasional moment as the center of attention, such as that showered on a baby. According to a story that some scholars take seriously, to baby a lover, spouse, or aging parent is to behave as though diamonds are being sifted. An American inventor is credited with having developed a device capable of shaking soil in order to sift diamonds from it.
Hmm.
From his name, B-A-B-E, we aren't sure how to pronounce that one. His machine is supposed to have been known as a baby with a Y. Rocking motions of Babe's baby was much like the rhythmic soothing of an infant. Hence, anyone who gets overzealous attention is said to have been babied.
Oh, my gosh.
Now you're going to have to live up to that one at home, huh?
Yeah, I could tell you.
Nice move.
100% certainty I wouldn't have even gone down that road.
Could have said gold in least in the region, huh?
Yeah. It's like sifting a crawfish platter. No, I was kidding.
Yeah.
You got to talk what's relative to me.
I got you. Okay.
Hmm.
What can we do? Okra seeds.
Yeah.
Not big okra,
No, I love okra, but usually the seeds are in it because I'll just throw it in my gumbo and...
Not worry about it.
Don't pick out the seeds, no.
Do you do that with jalapenos?
I don't typically eat jalapenos.
Ghost?
Not a fan. No.
Oh, wrong direction on the scale?
Yes.
Okay. How about ground?
Yeah. Not big on the peppers. Bell pepper. No.
What does Tabasco have in it that's the
smoke?
Well,
the vinegar tames it down and makes it more palatable to me, but yeah, I'm not big on the hot sauces.
Wait, who puts vinegar in gumbo?
Well, I don't put hot sauce in my gumbo either, but right. The Tabasco sauce is a vinegar blend with the peppers. And
have you ever been out to the factory?
No. My mom was a teacher, and she used to take classes there all the time, but she never took her own children.
Oh, I see. So you were abandoned.
Yeah.
At an early age.
Left hanging.
And dropped on your head.
That is completely accurate. That happened at least twice, according to my mom. So it explains
a lot,
right?
How do you pronounce the name? Is it McElhenney?
McElhenney?
Is that how it's pronounced?
You slur it. You just don't pronounce any of it completely.
Oh, okay.
And just let it, McElhenney?
Just kind of smush it together and
yeah.
call it done.
That's the trick.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, you made the mistake and you shared that you went down for a training week in Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you able to rub your tummy and walk at the same time?
Yeah, that was I got remedial training of the brain reprogrammed, and now this one was for evidence. So, as the evidence officer too at the office, we're responsible for maintaining control of everything that we bring in, and as you can imagine, it takes. A bit of organization, and there's a lot of policy and procedure behind that to meet our policies and the requirements of the law for maintaining evidence. So there's just some advanced training in that.
Now, you hold it while the case is still active.
Yes.
What happens if it goes cold? Do you continue to hold on to it? Do you give it to the sheriff? Does it go down to Sacramento? What happens to that evidence?
It would stay locally, and it depends on the case, what the crime was. There are different time limits based for misdemeanors and felonies. If it's a homicide or someone died, we're going to keep it indefinitely.
You guys will maintain possession?
Yes. And our office is able to maintain possession of pretty much anything. We have enough space with the storage we have. We can maintain it there. There are some exceptions to that with vehicles, which are stored off-site either through us or they may be transferred to the district attorney's office and they maintain them. So that would be like one of the exceptions.
Something that's really large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But you'll hold them indefinitely or until somebody says release?
Correct. We'll do follow-up and try to find out. We'll check in periodically on cases. So let's say there's something that's maybe a hit and run that was just property damage, depending on what the circumstances were. As if there are no leads and there's no suspect that can be identified, with permission from the district attorney's office, some of that evidence could be disposed of. But we'll still maintain documentation for periods which are usually longer than that evidence hold anyway. So we could come back to it. And photos, digital photos now are hugely helpful for being able to maintain at least the visuals of something to go back and reference, as opposed to having it take up space, especially larger items.
With some of the artificial intelligence stuff that's now available, can you see that would enter into the equation, either for the storage, the virtualness of it? I mean, once it gets refined to that point, that becomes the evidence, and then sharing the evidence, I mean, click, attach, and go.
That's exactly right. So we are going through a period of transition right now with all the availability of different electronical. Let's use that one. That was from Louisiana.
The word's a little too big there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. The processes that involve that stuff. So an example would be all the paper reports that we have that go back years and years. We have the ability now to scan those and just save them on, a little hard drive. The videos from our traffic stops, whether from a vehicle or body camera, all that stuff can be stored on a drive or a server. And we're working towards being able to share that electronically as well, although we haven't reached that point yet. A lot of that is because we're throttled by the internet speeds that we have. But
the local infrastructure.
Correct. Yeah. And we're looking at having an upgrade on that in the near future, too, though.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Paul Kraft.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. The concept of virtual storage of evidence would seem intriguing because then you don't have to, everybody doesn't have to have their hands on it. It doesn't have to get passed from one person to another as far as either contaminating or losing. And just the speed of it would just really seem like that would be a logical approach. Has there been any case law yet to permit that to be the way that you could store or that you could pass along evidence to whoever the prosecutors are or the defense?
Yeah, absolutely. There are already agencies that have that in place and they're doing that. We have some offices that are more capable, like in the Bay Area, somewhere where they have fast internet speeds and are able to better utilize the tools that are out there. So, you know, with the data, you have to have the bandwidth and the space of storage, and then you have to have security for that storage. Our IT department does a really good job of setting that up. Once we get the bandwidth and we can do that, I think we'll be able to share stuff. So an example would be burning our digital videos. So if we say an officer has body camera footage, right now to share that, we may have to burn it onto a compact disc. We still have those and have to utilize that technology because it's the best way to do it, and we can track that. So I can hand that over to someone at the district attorney's office, and now they have possession of it, and it can be tracked to where it goes. Once we get a little more advanced here, we should be able to send a link electronically that's going to be protected. Then they can open that link with the having the, let's say, a password or something.
Yeah,
like
that.
So they'd be the only one.
Yeah.
And so they'll be able to handle that too. And that's going to allow us to share it more quickly. So if there's a hearing coming up in a day, you know, with the slow speeds that we have, I may have to take a day just to download the video from the cloud. If it's a 2-hour, 2.5-hour video from Willow Creek of the officer there, you can imagine the file size is going to be pretty big as that camera runs the entire time. So we do have some restrictions on what we can do right now, but it's going to only improve over time.
I would think that that would be good for the, whether it's Sacramento or wherever the primary place is, to have that information so that if somebody relocates,
yes,
it's there with them and they just tap in and it gets however many locations they are within the state, rather than having to reach out to each individual county to get whatever, or area, mm-hmm. to get that information, and maybe it's there, maybe it's not, and what's the condition, and you know, how is it labeled, and all those types of things that are the variables that you have to contend with.
And right now we do have the ability to transfer that with the officer when they leave, because the our entire fleet hasn't been transitioned from the compact disc recorders to our mobile recorders. So the digital recorders that our cars do have, those upload to the cloud automatically when they come back to the office.
Oh, really?
Correct. So there's a router that connects automatically to the car and it's going to send it up to the cloud. So then if that officer transfers next week to the Sacramento office, they're...
Heaven forbid, Weaverville.
Yeah, that actually just happened too. So
no.
Sorry.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
It's Victor. So Victor promoted and is now in Weaverville.
That's what we understand.
Yeah.
Your bud gave up the ghost last month.
He's
now Sergeant.
Missed. Yeah, he's crossed to the other side. Sorry, Vic. But if he had video that he needed for a case that maybe, granted, he was not on the road when he was working here either doing backgrounds, but if he needed to access it, his login goes there, or that evidence officer can view his video. It transfers with the officer. And eventually all of our units will be set up with that. They're still in the process of switching everything over.
Why would it go with the officer rather than just dumping into the CHP site, where anybody that is permissioned would be able to access the film footage?
Mostly it has to do with that officer, their assigned area. So the evidence officer in their assigned area is the one other than that officer that can access the video. So in a case where if Victor had a case here and he's stationed in Weaverville, that evidence officer would still need to pull it up for me and provide the link to that, or share it with me to share with the DA's office here. So, but it does offer, that officer has the ability to get to their videos, being wherever they're assigned at. So
it's getting more and more streamlined.
It is. You know, the state, the other thing we have to consider is we're such a large agency. Whenever we want something or implementing something, it's on a much larger scale than any 30-officer department, where we're 100 times a 1,000. Wait, 100 times. What's the math? I'm from Louisiana. So 3,000-something officers, 3,500 officers. When we're providing the equipment for that many people, it's definitely a larger budget hit, and there needs to be approval for that. We need to show, you know, a good reason why we need it or how it benefits us and the cost benefits of implementing
that. I would think public safety would, you'd like to think public safety was a high priority in the state.
It is. But have we been able to do the same job with the equipment that we've had? I mean, if you go back just 20 or 30 years ago, not having video, we did it based on, you know, just an officer and a pen and pencil and a ticket book. And we managed to handle crashes and arrest drunk drivers and do it all then, too. So, yes, we need the technology. We need the advancements, I think, to better do our job. But down at the bones of it, an officer can go out and do their job without all that.
Sure. It's the sharing of the information that's the issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do want to make that easier and better.
Remember those thermal faxes? I didn't think so. I do.
I can hear some noises of a fax machine ringing in my ear. Or a dot matrix printer.
That would be probably 50 faxes going out per item, right?
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 8:30. We'll be back with more from Paul Kraft.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. So, Paul, with the training that you were subjected to,
I loved.
Where the electrodes were plugged in.
Yeah. That sucks being bald. You can see the scars.
Yeah. What was your big takeaway? You know, always when you're out conventioning, there's always something you go, that's, I'm going to remember this for that purpose.
Documentation. That was a huge thing, whether it's making notes in the system or just writing notes down. You know, at some point I may say a worst case scenario, something happens to me, somebody has to take over my position and come in. The ability for somebody to walk into that evidence room and be able to find what they need or continue the processes there, having stuff documented is going to be hugely beneficial in covering us for liability, anything, maintaining proper custody and control of evidence, and for somebody else being able to come in and take it over. So I do a pretty good job, I think, of that already, but it just reinforces that too.
Labeling, like with stickers and things like that, or color coding. I mean,
yeah, that's part of it.
Basic stuff,
barcodes,
like
and all that stuff. Yeah, just like you see on TV. It's all entered in and tracked in a computer.
You can stock shelves in a grocery store now, huh?
Our scanner is very similar. It basically is a grocery store scanner, so it prints out a barcode, attach it to the items, and it can be scanned. And larger offices, you know, you go to San Francisco, that's going to be, you couldn't do the job without that, I imagine. It's so large and so many thousands and thousands of items, you'd have to utilize that.
You ever go to those places and just kind of
haven't been in
wander around? Or like when you're in Sacramento, do you go to the main headquarters and just kind of wander and look and see?
It's a different world. You know, our office and others like it in rural areas, you know, we're separated from the, you know, the main engine of the machine, so to speak. And going down to Sacramento and being at headquarters, and the training was at headquarters. It reminds you of, you know, I work for a whole department, and I'm not just at that office in Humboldt. We have a large operation that runs throughout the state. It's a good reminder and good to go back every once in a while and check in.
Touch base, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think it's kind of tough if you're in an office where you open the front door, but you can't open the back door at the same time.
And I have no desire to work in an office.
To see it and to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I saw the call log on how many crashes that North Sac was handling when I was leaving town, and I'm grateful to be working in Humboldt County.
I would think that there's a lot of thanks, Lord. Yeah. Moments when you're there, you appreciate the resources.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the culture or the environment of having to work in that scenario, not with the people, but just it's a different job.
Well, you know, I've said this in here before, the idea of working here in a rural area where I can actually meet people and talk to people, have conversations, it's not handle this crash, get their information and go, and it's so busy, it's such a large area, so many people, I don't imagine that they have the same contact and connection with the community, other than maybe the PIO at events and things of that nature, as we do here, because every officer on a daily basis has that opportunity to have a conversation. I don't think they're overwhelmed with the call volume or the things to do, and that's great. And I love that part of this more than probably any part of it.
Well, I would think it's a machine down there.
Yeah. Well, it has to be because of the size. And
yeah, exactly. The population base and some of the screwy stuff that's going on. I mean, all those types of things. It's just different. We've kind of had the same realization in radio. Is that you got the big market guys,
mm-hmm.
the San Franciscos. They couldn't survive here. And maybe we could survive there, but they just don't have that contact. They can't.
Yeah.
It's just a different creature. It's a different animal.
It is.
And it which is curious then for me why they rotate you guys around instead of saying, okay, there's the big city boys and there's the small town boys.
Well, and, you know, it's our choice too. So when it comes to transferring out, it's by choice. You could get assigned to your office out of the academy and stay there for your entire career if you don't want to leave. If you want to promote, you may have to consider going somewhere that has an opening.
Really good to stay where you are.
Yeah. And as an officer, it's if you want to transfer somewhere else, you just have to put in and have an opening that's available there. I'm happy here, so.
Oh, okay. You weren't setting things up for us.
No. You're going to see me on the radio for a while still.
Good.
Does that make sense?
You're going to hear me on TV? Frighteningly so. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol Swamp Office. Maximum enforcement weekend. Here we are.
Yeah.
The excitement is just compelling.
These are always exciting.
Anything special? I don't know why or what, but last week it seemed like all the screwies were out. I was coming in to work. I actually had in the safety corridor an unloaded logging truck cut me off. That has never happened to me before. And it went through Eureka going about 40 through the intersections.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I figure he hit the lights. I mean, everything was okay that way. Mm-hmm. But he was moving a little quicker than what others were. But I've never been cut off by a logging truck.
And they don't stop quick either.
No. You know, somebody speculated that either he didn't see me, and others speculated he did see me.
That's,
take your pick.
All right. It could go either way. So it's hard to know.
Yeah, exactly. But it's seems like it's weather dependent. When the weather is good, everybody kind of hits the accelerator a little bit harder, the brakes a little bit less, and we're all kind of playing like we're running down the slopes at high speed.
Yeah.
Do you guys experience that, or do you kind of gear up when the weather is like this during springtime, or you get the Indian summer in the late fall, and knowing that it's just going to be one of those days?
It's been the same forever. When we come out, especially when we're coming out of a worse winter than in the past, there's a real desire to get out and get into the sun. But this also, this time of year is when we have the graduations and, you know, the different events going on. If you want, vacations are starting up now. There's just more people on the road, and the timing of this Memorial Day maximum enforcement period is good because it's right at the beginning of that season when the travel is happening. So us getting more officers out on the road and utilizing all the tools that we have, it helps not only for enforcement, but crashes tend to go up because there's more traffic on the road. There's people looking for directions. Just having somebody stop and ask for directions, so much more travel going on. I got stopped, people come into the office twice last week looking for directions for someplace because they're in from out of town for upcoming graduations and things like that. It's just there's more benefit to it than us just going out and writing tickets during this enforcement period. It just gives a more opportunity for officers to be visible and offer assistance too.
It's kind of funny. I've seen three rigs that are recently decommissioned. Okay, so there's no badge on the front door, but the paint is still there. Boy, does that mess with people. I mean, you must take a real perverse joy in seeing one of those rigs driving by and everybody reacting as if it was the real deal.
Yeah. It gives us an extra unit out on the road when those guys are driving around.
Yeah, you drive by some old guy with a beard and that that just doesn't make – oh, okay, that's right.
Well, between our SUVs and the Chargers too, there's so many – regular civilian models of those vehicles out on the road too. It just adds more. When you see them off in the distance, you're like, I'm not sure. Is that maybe? I'm just gonna slow down. So that helps us too.
Yeah, particularly if they're parked on the overpass.
Yeah,
you can.
We'll just put designated.
If somebody was inclined, they could really mess with people.
You could.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Sit on the side of the road on your motorcycle if you had a black and white motorcycle.
Yeah, there's with a blue jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got not a fashion jumpsuit.
No,
I would not.
Well, from a distance, you won't be able to tell either.
Yeah. We could have all kinds of fun. Basically, a lot of people out there. Some are familiar, some are not familiar. Go slow.
Yeah, we go through this every year too. We have all these back roads that our GPS tends to guide us towards and utilize to get somewhere. Not so much for, obviously, locals living here, but people traveling through the area. And we tend to get more calls out in the rural hills for vehicles that may be off the road or run out of gas even. Unfortunately,
Ridgeville through Maple Creek to Eureka.
And semis, there's... It's
really,
never,
even the pros?
It never fails. This summer, I guarantee you, we'll have three or four trucks that get stuck out trying to go from 36 across through Neyland and over.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That happens every year.
That's interesting because I would think that whoever they're hired by, kind of like the airplanes, right? You go vector to vector, here you are, and that's the way you fly. That if you had a commercial rig, here's what you do. We highlight the highways, and that's it. Or special software that wouldn't show the other things.
You would think over time they would pass down information and be, these are routes that are not allowed to take. But they type it into GPS, and it cuts them across on a certain road, and they start down. And these big trucks, there's usually nowhere for them to even turn around at that point. So they just power through and keep moving forward. And
it's kind of like that Chinese finger things. The more you pull, the tighter it gets.
The worse it gets. Yep. Until you get that switch back that
you're stuck.
You're done.
So what do you guys do? I mean, you get the tow trucks out
Not
there
much.
And break it apart? Yeah. You can throw flares all over, but all that's going to do is start a fire.
Yep. It's usually a long process with tow trucks. Sometimes it involves disconnecting and flipping the trailer around the other direction. Sometimes it's lifting it up and getting it through the turn so they maybe can continue.
Really? So it's a major event.
It's hours and hours. Last year on one, I believe, just off of 101, there was a big rig that got stuck or jackknifed up there. And I want to say it took till the next day to get it turned around or out of there. And I don't remember all the details of what happened, but I think it was hanging over the side partially.
That'll get your attention.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of money involved in that process. So our message for those drivers is to obviously
don't
use caution and, yeah, check your route before you take off. So,
well, did you get in the same scenario with the RVs and the Winnebagos and the Rent America or whatever those, you know, the rentals of those things? Did you have those kinds of responses for them as well?
Yeah, usually I haven't seen too many of those because probably the renters are less likely to take them off-road or go somewhere that rural off the main road.
Off-roading in an RV.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the insurance is on those.
I've not envisioned that one.
Yeah. But the bigger ones, sure, same issues.
I don't imagine you have to do have too many dune rescues with RVs either, huh?
No. No. But. Luckily, we have local resources that help out on getting people off the beaches and stuff around here.
If there's an RV stuck on the beach, there's something else going on.
Yeah, not
but,
right.
But it would be great fun, wouldn't it? Humor.
Send me photos.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or send me to the beach. Take your pick. Huh. Have a good Memorial Day, bud.
Thank you very much. Be safe.
See everybody tomorrow.